Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. This is the fifth Sunday of Easter, and we're going to celebrate today and next week, actually, our connection with Jesus and how that connection comes from a very important source, the Bible. Today, we're also going to celebrate that connection with the Lord's Supper. So if you are a visitor, we direct your attention to the paragraph on the inside cover on the bottom there. If you are not a visitor, if you are a member, we ask you to prepare your minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. You're going to be connected to Him today through the Lord's Supper. We'll begin our worship this morning as we connect and praise our God with 387, hymn 387 in your red songbooks. God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Thank you.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may ever yearn for the lasting joys of heaven. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The first lesson this morning as we talk about our connection to Christ through His Word comes from Acts chapter 16, where we see Lydia respond to Paul's message. From Acts chapter 16. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days, Paul says. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. The word of the Lord. We now hear a song from the choir, Because He Lives.
I believe.
The second lesson this morning comes from 1 John chapter 3, where we find out that because he lives, we too can live lives of love. From 1 John chapter 3. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and that he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. The word of the Lord. Verse of the day comes from John chapter 14 and shows us that connection to Jesus. Alleluia, alleluia, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord, alleluia. Please stand in honor of the gospel lesson. The gospel for this morning comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. It will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. We openly and together confess our faith and that connection we have in Jesus and what he's done, according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, Alleluia, Jesus Lives, number 153. Grace and peace are yours, brothers and sisters, from our Lord Jesus Christ, the risen one. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the gospel lesson, John chapter 15, which I won't reread at this time. So let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your life. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I've made a discovery. I have discovered the most powerful, life-giving source in the whole world. It isn't the sun. It isn't water. The energy that is in this just courses through it, and it's unequaled. And you want to talk about clean energy? This is the cleanest. This is the definition of clean energy. I have discovered the Bible. Now, while your pastor telling you that he's discovered the Bible might be a little disconcerting, don't worry. It's more like a rediscovery, a reminder. And I get to share that reminder, that rediscovery with you over the next 2 weeks. We're going to be taking a look a little bit closer at John chapter 15. The first half of John chapter 15 that we'll look at today sets the foundation for what we're going to talk about next week too. And it all focuses on this picture that Jesus uses where he is the vine and we are the branches. Now, I almost brought in a branch this morning with some leaves and maybe even some fruit to kind of show you, but then I thought, you know what? Then you'd just be looking at the branch and the fruit and the leaves, and we'd be missing Jesus' point. Today we're talking about the life-giving power of Jesus and being connected to him. I don't want you looking at the fruit and the branches. The life-giving power doesn't come from the fruit and the branches. It comes from the Word. It comes from Jesus. So instead, I brought in this. Imagine this as a tree with a whole bunch of branches, or even like a vine with a bunch of branches coming off of it. Now, when there's that connection made, there's power, isn't there? There's that energy coursing through it. No connection? Connection. No connection? Connection. That is the point that Jesus wanted to make to his disciples in John chapter 15. On the night before he died, Jesus knew that his disciples were going to get scared and they were going to abandon him when he was arrested. They knew they'd have the joy of seeing him and appearing to him over 40 days after he rose from the dead, but then they'd also be separated from them again when he ascended into heaven, and they might feel like that connection was gone. So, he wanted to share with them a very important encouragement. He wanted them to rediscover something, to be reminded of something. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. He is the vine. The branches that don't bear fruits of faith, that is, that don't show the love of Christ in thought, word, and deed, are cut off. The branches that do bear fruit, well, guess what? They get pruned by the Father so that they bear even more fruit. It's a simple picture, simple concept. So which branch are you? I'm going to tell you. You are the branch that bears fruit. But how do you know? How do you know that you are a branch that bears fruit? When I asked that question, what was the first thing you thought of? You looked at the fruit, right? If I'm a branch bearing fruit, well then let's see, where are the fruit? Am I doing good deeds? Am I sharing the love of Christ in what I think, say, and do? Is that connection there? Okay, whew, all right. Because of that fruit, the connection's there, right? Or maybe even you're thinking, oh, you know what? You're right. There's not enough fruit. Oh, let me quick do a bunch of good things so that I can feel better about that, oh, that connection that I have with Jesus. It's the wrong thing. Don't focus on that. That's why I didn't bring in the branch. I didn't want you to take a look at the fruit or the branch. That's not the point. Because if you start to do that, you're going to lead yourself down the wrong path. If you start looking for fruit, what else are you going to see? All the times when there aren't fruit. You're going to see all of those times when it's the opposite. You're going to see all those dead little twigs that are on the branch of sin. Time and again, you'll realize there's more of those than the fruit, and that will only lead you to despair and to doubt whether you're even connected to Christ. Don't look at the fruit for your confidence. Where should you look? How can you be confident that you're connected with Christ? You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, Jesus says. Notice in that sentence, there is no mention of any action on your part. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It's because of the word that we're clean and we bear fruit. Jesus has made that connection with us. It's the word that's all about Jesus. That's why John calls Jesus in chapter 1, he calls him the Word. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. It's about the life of fruit-filled life that Jesus has lived on our behalf. It's all about Jesus being cut off and thrown into the fire in our place. In his word, the judge of all the earth has declared you clean. Perfectly clean. And it's in that clean energy message that the Holy Spirit gives power to help make you from a dead branch to a fruit-bearing, life-filled branch. There is no other book or message or word that has that kind of power in it. That's why Jesus is the true life-giving vine. So the formula is simple. Remain in him, and you'll bear much fruit. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Repetition. Rediscovery, reminder, is the mother of all learning. Have you ever thought, you know, I want to change. I want to become better. I want my spiritual confidence. I want my family life. I want my ability to witness my faith. I want my battle against my pet sin. I want my hope in eternal life and my trust in what Jesus did for me to become stronger and better. Well, have you ever evaluated your connection to the vine and to his word? Jesus wants you to bear fruit. And that's why he says, remain in me. The problem is, though, that we forget about that power source. We forget that the power comes from the word. We start to diminish and downplay the importance of Bible study. We start to let our schedules and our earthly lives take priority over the word in study and in worship. Even when we're in worship and the word is being spoken, a lot of times we have things stealing our focus away. Why do we let that happen? I think it's, and a lot of times we don't even realize it, but I think sometimes we're okay with being lukewarm, unpruned branches. We're kind of like straddling that line a little bit, where we want to make that connection and hold on to that with Jesus, but at the same time, we also want to hold on to those sinful desires, comforts, those things that we delight in that the world says are great, but the Bible doesn't. We even start to convince ourselves that God is okay with it. And we might even fear opening up that word because we know that it's powerful and that it can convict us and that it even has the power to change us, and then we might let go of those sinful things that we delight in. So Jesus also gives us a warning to help prune that lukewarm sinful attitude out of our hearts. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Be careful with your lukewarm, unpruned attitudes, because you're risking having your connection to Christ becoming severed, and you're risking the fires of hell. So what do? Like I said, the formula is simple. You remain in him. You strengthen that connection that you have to Christ. And guess what? As you do, you're not alone. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Okay, Lord, I want to know you better. Lord, I want you to bless my family as we learn your word. Lord, I want you to help me become a better witness for you by learning more about how to do that. And if I don't have the words in the moment to say, then please give me the words, or at least the wisdom to witness what I can. Lord, I want you to give me strength to help battle my pet sin. Lord, I want you to help strengthen and solidify my hope and that connection I have with you, the eternal life that is surging through me. Lord, help me with my trust in the work that you've done for me. Or even as we're about to do in a few minutes, Lord, create in me a pure, a clean heart. You think any of those prayers are going to be answered with a no? Nope. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Of course he'll do it. You being a fruitful branch gives glory to the Father. A fruitful vine is the pride of, and it shows the skill of a good gardener. You ever work on your yard? Or on the bushes that are there and the trees, and you take care of them, you prune them, you water them, and all of a sudden those roses pop like they did in the rose garden over here these last few weeks. And that fruit starts bursting forth and you go, yeah, that's right. Those are my roses. That's my tree. Hey, all y'all, driving by my front yard, guess what? That's mine. In the same way, when you start bearing fruit, the Father says, that's my branch. Because we are the pride of, and we show the grace of our Father to the whole world. You and I are to the Father's glory, in his heart and to the world, his fruit-bearing branches. Because look at what we can show people. Look at what the Father can do with nasty, gnarly-looking branches. He can prune them through his word to make them fruitful, make them even more fruitful, to make them producing fruit they didn't even think they'd be producing. You ever have a moment in the past where you thought to yourself, I'm so sinful. What could God ever do with me? And now you look at yourself and you realize, wow, God really can work within me. He really has worked his powerful change within me. And that is when you realize that you being a fruit-bearing branch, and the confidence is that doesn't come from the fruit. It comes from the one who has brought that fruit from within you. Because the Father is powerful, and his word is powerful. And his word reveals a love for you that is just as powerful. And that love is coursing through you. and it bears fruit. So remain in him as Jesus remains in you. He is that true life-giving vine. And he wants you to be that big branch that's as big as a redwood trunk. So what do you got to do to become that branch? I'll give you a hint. It has to do with rediscovery, perhaps. Maybe for you, it's carving out a time in your schedule on Sunday morning that's 2 hours instead of one, so that you can go to Bible study too. Maybe for you, it's attending a monthly class. Maybe for you, it's strengthening the foundation of that connection you have by retaking the Bible information class. Maybe for you, it's diving in depth and going to that summary of Christian doctrine class. Maybe for you, it's in-home Bible study or devotions. Maybe for you, it's just when you come here and worship, you listen a little closer to the word as it's read and as it's preached. Or maybe for you, it's all of those things because you realize that the importance of the power of that word is the most important thing. This word is powerful. Jesus makes you clean through this word. The Father prunes you through this word. The Holy Spirit keeps you nice and clean and growing and strong and rooted in grace through this word. This word is all about Jesus. So Jesus' encouragement in John chapter 15 is simple. Remain in him, the true life-giving vine. Amen. Please stand. I know this prayer is going to be answered with a yes. May God bless you as you strengthen your connection to Christ. Amen. Let us now sing Create in Me. You'll find that in your bulletins. For our offerings. This morning, as part of the prayer of the church, we have our minds and hearts on those battling health challenges this week, including David Haugen, Stan Kuhlman, Leon Raglan, Terry Jackson, Helma Walcott, Marianne and Rich, the friends of the Hoppings, as well as Terry, friend of Ellie Ennis. We also include a prayer for those celebrating birthdays this week. We join our minds and our hearts in the prayer of the church and then join together in the Lord's Prayer after that. Father, we thank you for connecting us to Christ and making us clean through his powerful word. Continue to strengthen our connection to him so that we can bear fruit to your glory. You said in your word that we can ask anything, so we ask that you show mercy to all those who have suffered injury or illness. Comfort them with your love shown in their Savior, and give them the strength they need to be good examples of how your love can be evident even through the difficulties of this life. Continue to bless all those celebrating birthdays. Give them the chance to see your grace on this special day and to bear that same grace to everyone celebrating with them. All of these things we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son, who also taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Please stand. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, Go My Children with My Blessing. Good morning. It's nice worshiping with you this morning, connecting to Christ together. Visitors, if you are a visitor with us, we want you to please go to the Welcome Center. As you leave there, we'll have a gift there waiting for you. There's Sunday school and Bible classes continuing in between services today, so you can continue to grow in Christ there. Member pictures. If you are a member and you need your picture in the directory, please come up to the front and see one of the Board of Adult Discipleship members who will take it and put that in the directory for you. Thank you. We also have today, we are going to start selling St. Mark's merchandise. So here's one example. Got a grocery bag here. You've got license plate frame. Everybody stares at these ones, right? Got a nice coffee mug there. You got t-shirts. You got some other things there. So St. Mark's merchandise, check it out in the library here in between services. A big thank you to everyone who took part and was there for the soiree last night. It was a lot of fun. I've never seen such nicer bidding in a live auction. It was nice to see your love for each other as you're like, no, please, you have it. I've never seen it before. It was a lot of fun watching that. It was a lot of fun coming together for you, with you to celebrate what we have here. So thanks for that. Next week is a very special week. Next week is Confirmation Week, and it's going to be a little bit different than it has been in the past from what I hear. So we'll have a special service with the examination in it, and the confirmation rites and communion all within it at 10:45. So the 10:45 service will be a special confirmation service. Please note that the examination will not take place in between services. We will have the Bible studies that we've been doing, and we'll continue those. A new thing starting up here in June is called Mornings with Mommy. If you are a mommy or a caretaker of any kind, really, doesn't matter, there is going to be a mommy or caretaker of somebody, Jen, 0 to 3, I believe, 3 years, 5 years old, thank you. 0 to 5 years old, you can come for Mornings with Mommy. It's going to be 2 Tuesdays a month, I believe the first and third Tuesdays, and it's going to start in June. Register for that online, so that's coming up. The principal call, we have a letter here from the principal who was holding our call to him. I'll read it for you. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus, it has been truly humbling to have received the call to be the next principal at St. Mark's Lutheran Church and School. What an honor and privilege it has been to see into the beautiful ministry of our Lord in and among you. After much prayer and careful consideration, I have decided to return the call to St. Mark's and continue my service at Star of Bethlehem. I am confident that the Lord has guided the process and that he will continue to work his gracious and abundant will at both St. Mark's and Star of Bethlehem. What an awesome ministry you have there, and what zeal our Lord is working through so many of you. God is good all the time. My prayers will continue to be with the critical mission there at St. Mark's and with the faculty, staff, students, and families. May our Lord's will be done and all done to his glory, serving our Savior, Tim Miller." So because of that, we will have our next call meeting for a principal next week after the second service, and that will probably take place in the chapel, but stay tuned for next week for the exact location. But that will take place next week after the second service, May 6th. Please see the weekly update for any other announcements. May God bless your day, and if you get a chance, check out the roses popping next to us there in the Rose Garden. God bless your day. Please stick around to greet one another, too.